welcome to On the Corner, right here on ShutdownCorner.com. Danks here, along with MJD. MJD, what's going on?
Not a lot, brother.
Excellent.
Yeah.
That's great. That's good to hear. It's great to hear that your life is so exciting right now, my friend.
I am a fountain of excitement.
You sound like it.
Yeah.
Well, let's get right into it this week. And, you know, the NFL continues to roll right along, and some of the storylines continue to be, you know, not the players, but the officiating. And one certain guy who is really MJD over the last few seasons has become kind of a cult, or has a bit of a cult following here. Of course, I'm talking about Eddie Hockley, or Eddie Pipes, or Eddie Hercules, whatever you want to call him out there. You know, one of the more popular refs out there, and you know, everyone says he's one of the better ones out there. But ever since the gaffe in San Diego, obviously the magnifying glass has been on him. There have been some interesting calls, and then this week, this Monday, New Orleans and the Minnesota Vikings, a couple more questionable calls, and specifically the Reggie Bush, a face mask fumble, where what the face mask was not called, and here he is right in the mix of controversy again. Are we seeing a bit of a fall of Eddie Hockley before our very eyes?
Well, I think you're seeing a fall in terms of public opinion, certainly.
Sure.
You know, you last year and before you thought of Ed Hockley, and, you know, he's, you know, the big cute referee with strapping guns.
Right, the guy who's falling out of his shirt.
Right. I think I just said Ed Hockley was cute, didn't I?
You did, but...
I didn't mean it that way.
It's all right. Nothing's anything wrong with that.
No. I mean, you know what? I stand by it. Ed Hockley is cute.
I think you did mean it, actually.
Yeah. Clearly. But yeah, you know, he's not going to be fired or anything like that. And I don't think he's going to be demoted to some, you know, other position on the field where he doesn't get a microphone. It's taken a bad turn, and I think it's kind of unfortunate because, you know, I don't think Ed Hockley has gone from a great referee to a bad one. You know what I mean? I think you know, he made one huge mistake in Denver, and I said this earlier in the week on the blog that, you know, these things that happened Monday night, they were bad. But, like, you know, if they happen to any other official, they're not quite the, you know, the big event that it was, you know, since it was Ed Hockley involved.
Right. Right. You know what it reminds me of, and it's, we haven't seen this kind of media publicity towards a referee since the Phil Luckett days of, you know, screwing up coin tosses and every single game that, who was it? Was it the New York Jets who won on late touchdowns for three games in a row when Vinny Testaverde never actually got into the end zone in two of those games against teams like Seattle?
Yeah.
That's kind of what it reminds me of. And Phil Luckett ended up being like a side judge or a back judge, and I don't even think he's in the NFL anymore. I can't imagine that someone like Ed Hockley, like you've been talking about, like would be demoted, but, you know, let's not even look at what the NFL may do, but could we see the last day? Are we seeing the last days possibly of Ed Hockley as a referee in this league?
I don't think you are.
I want to throw the disclaimer out there. That's not what I want to see. I'm just saying, you know, throwing that out there because I enjoy looking at Eddie Pipes out there. And,
see, I'm glad I'm not the only one.
I think there's a lot more people out there like us. I'm not going to lie.
We should start a club and just get together and watch every week whatever game Ed Hockley does.
I have a man crush on Hercules.
And we'll have sandwiches and cocktails, and there will be a big tub of Jell-O in the middle.
All right, that's a little strange, but we could. You know what we could do?
What could we do?
During the off-season, we could actually go to the courtroom and chant while he's in there putting some guy in jail or whatever kind of law he studies.
That's an idea. You know, I think that would give him back the confidence that he needs to officiate properly in the NFL.
I think so, by, you know, I wonder, we should do a little research to see what kind of law he practices.
I sort of doubt that he's a, you know, trial lawyer.
But right.
Even if that's the case and he's not actually, you know, doing his thing in courtrooms, we could go to his house.
We could.
Yeah.
Maybe we should do that, like, tonight.
I wonder where he lives.
Arizona.
He lives in Arizona?
I think so.
I like Arizona, man.
I have no idea. I think it's out there because isn't that where I think that's where someone, when everyone was looking for his email, I think they found him in like some magazine, like Trial Lawyers of Arizona Weekly or something.
Right, right, right. It was like the Southwest Power Lawyers or something like that.
Right, yes.
No, his email address is just shockingly easy to find. If you do just a quick Google or,
right.
A Yahoo search would be the preferred method. You can find where he works, and his email address is right there. I'm interested to see what happens. And the other thing I kind of wonder is, how valuable the property Ed Hockley actually is to the NFL. Like, I most of me thinks that, the NFL offices see Ed Hockley and they say, our official shouldn't have this high a profile. We don't want you to be a celebrity, period. We want you to be as anonymous as possible. But Ed Hockley is sort of, an attention-getting guy, and I just wonder if there's part of the NFL that says, hey, we got a little attention getter here. That's not bad.
Right. And I think you also kind of look at, the situation is we have Eddie Hockley here. You talk about the attention grabber. There's a website out there that says he's going to be doing not MTV Cribs, but, he's going to show off his cribs. He's going to show off what his workout routines are. So it's obviously it's a guy who is taken a bit of that publicity, and he's run with it. Even obviously before this year, we're talking about this kind of, the cult status he has had over the last 5 years or so.
Well, yeah, I think, he's not a guy that dislikes the publicity at all. I think, he's a guy that enjoys the camera. He likes being Ed Hockley and not being an NFL ref.
You know what I'd like to see? Gerald Austin's crib.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen him he was like the first referee I remember when I started watching football. And he's lasted forever.
Yeah.
What do you think? Do you think he's like rolling in a pimp house?
I don't know. He seems like more of a low profile guy to me. You know what I mean? I think he might like still have the trailer he grew up in.
What about Mike Carey? Does he have some nice whips?
Mike Carey, I don't know. He seems like a family guy to me. He's got, probably just your average house in the suburbs, wife and kids,
I could see Ron Winter rocking like a penthouse in New York City.
Yeah, yeah.
Just doing something not right.
That's what we should do every week here on this podcast, is just guess at the personal lives of officials.
Wow. Well, how about some other personal lives in the NFL? How about the personal life of Marvin Harrison right now?
It is not a personal life that I envy at the moment.
No, not at all. It's being sued. And MJD, why don't you tell the story about what's going on there?
Well, as I think everyone's aware, this past offseason, Marvin Harrison was roundaboutly involved in a crime, maybe, sort of. His name was mentioned in concert with a crime, I guess is the best way to say it. And he's being sued personally by the injured party now. They're not, these aren't criminal charges, but this guy is suing him personally, alleging that it was Marvin Harris's gun that was used to shoot this guy, and I think he got shot in the hand or something. It wasn't a major wound. He's being sued. The guy's alleging that Marvin was the shooter. And even if Marvin wasn't the shooter, he's saying that Marvin was negligent if he did, in fact, leave his gun in a place where someone else could get it and shoot him with it.
Well, isn't it like painstakingly obvious that it was his gun? Isn't it an incredibly rare gun that was used?
Well, I don't know how rare it is. I mean, I'm not a gun guy.
I don't. Not either.
I mean, I fired one gun in my life, and I shot dirt.
Good job.
Yeah, I blew it away. It was like a super powerful handgun, though.
Right.
It's like a Belgian-made, it could kill a rhinoceros at 500 yards or something like that.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know a thing about
it. I can kill a rhinoceros at 2 feet with my bare hands.
Say, what do you need a gun for? It's a rhinoceros.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you, man.
Well, anyways, here we have the Indianapolis Colts, who have not exactly gotten off to the greatest start. They can thank Sage Rosenfeld for the win last week, and they just it hasn't been the same Colts team that we've seen in the last few years. Marvin Harrison hasn't been the same kind of player out there, and now, of course, the question of distraction comes to mind, and what will this really mean to not only the not only Marvin Harrison, but also the Indianapolis Colts?
As far as the distraction goes, I don't know. I tend to think that the Colts have enough problems, just purely from a football standpoint. But Marvin Harrison has not played well this year. He has not been himself. Who knows if that's because of, off-field things or he just lost a step, which is perfectly reasonable for a guy his age. And he could still be a very good receiver. He's just not going to be burning people down the sidelines for 80-yard gains anymore. He's been working the underneath, running routes, which he's great at. But he's not been the same. And, I'm kind of interested to see where this goes, because when this whole thing first surfaced, you had a case involving an NFL wide receiver and his gun used in a crime,
right?
That just sort of went away. How does that happen? I'm not saying
it disappeared. Yeah, but only that, Eddie, let me add this: it was wide receiver with a gun, and we're also talking about one of the high character guys of the NFL, at least from the reputation of who Marvin Harrison is.
Yeah, and I tend to wonder if that has something to do with it going away. And, I want to make it clear, too, I'm not glad that the guy is getting sued. I want justice to be done, I guess, but I don't know if he was involved or anything, or if he did it or whatever. I thought it was weird that it went away so quickly.
Sure.
And now it's back.
Have you ever been comfortable looking at the picture of Marvin Harrison or looking at Marvin Harrison with that mustache?
Oh, yeah. Comfortable.
I got to be honest. That's always kind of freaked me out a little bit.
Really? Why?
Just, I don't know. It just doesn't look right.
I think it looks good.
I don't know. Mustaches just freak me out in general.
Yeah.
I think Burt Reynolds, and that just is not a good, that's not a good thought.
You know who's starting to become the poster boy for mustaches in the NFL?
Matt Jones?
Mr. Matt Jones.
Man. Dirty.
He has got quite the mustache.
And speaking of crimes, now he's avoiding a criminal trial.
Well, he could, yeah. If he
could, excuse me, could avoid a criminal trial.
Yeah. What's the deal if he goes through like some sort of intervention program?
Right.
But I think that's sort of standard practice for people who are accused of doing what he's accused of doing, which is shoving the yayo up the nostrils.
In a car. On a random street at like 5 in the morning.
Yeah.
Dude's in the ride, right?
Was it like a Target parking lot or something like that? Or maybe that's just how I picture it going down. Like I think, if I was going to do some blow with a bunch of friends late at night, I picture myself doing it in a Target parking lot.
But are they really your friends if they're encouraging you to do drugs?
Well, yeah. No. No.
That's what I thought.
By
the way, I think we should let the listeners know that Matt Jones and your team could not take my fantasy squad down this weekend.
Yeah, that's very sad for me. I really thought I had it because you needed, you went into Sunday night, and let's continue pretending like anyone cares about our fantasy teams, but, we went into the Sunday night game virtually tied. I don't remember. I was up like maybe one or something. But you had Byron Leftwich going against...
No, I certainly didn't. I had David Garrard.
That's right. You had David Garrard. Yeah. Why the hell did I say Byron Leftwich?
Well, he was. Byron Leftwich was on that field.
He was. He was.
The backup. Yeah. So, kind of right.
Anyway, you had Garrard going against I had Santonio Holmes and
Matt Jones.
Yeah, and I held on to the lead for most of the game.
You did?
And then Garrard had a late touchdown that buried me.
Yep, that was a beautiful thing.
I disagree.
Yeah. Right, this is awful.
What's awful?
This fantasy conversation.
Yeah, we should probably move on.
So, MJD, I think it's time to talk about the Bears.
I want to talk about the Bears. Let's talk about the Bears.
I know you want to talk about the Bears. Let's talk about the Bears.
Are we talking about Chicago Bears or actual animals that have, you know, furry claws and stuff?
Well, I'm for that. I mean, I am up here in the great state of Maine, so we can talk about black bears or grizzly bears, and I could probably drop a little knowledge. But I think
do you see a lot of bears up there?
I have seen quite a few, which means I've never seen one in my entire life.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I've never seen one outside of a zoo.
Right. Well, I've seen them in zoos and TV and stuff, but I've never – no, we don't have them walking around the streets too often.
Okay. Just curious. So now that we've wrapped that up, let's turn to the Chicago Bears.
Let's do it.
Have you ever seen Kyle Orton in the wild?
Only on certain websites.
Right. you know,
he's been efficient. He's been efficient.
He's been better than efficient. He's been good. I every Tuesday morning when I'm putting together the absurdly early, the absurdly premature playoff picture.
Right.
I struggle with the Bears every week. It's because I watch them, and Kyle Orton looks good, but I just can't. I can't convince myself that he's going to keep this up. And you know, I'll say like, "Oh, Kyle Orton, he's just all he does is dink and dunk, and he can, you know, he can't complete anything past 6 yards." And then he goes out and, you know, 30-yard touchdown passes. He'll just be dazzling for half a game or so. And I just can't convince myself, and I don't know why. I don't know what I'm holding against Kyle Orton. I just can't convince myself that he's going to keep this up all year.
Well, he may not. Don't forget, the year that the Bears went to the Super Bowl, Rex Grossman was pretty solid at the beginning of the season.
He was excellent at the beginning of the season. He had a great deep ball. And,
I want to say he was one of the most efficient quarterbacks in the NFL up to a point.
Well, he had – I don't know if efficient is the word because he had a few bad games mixed in there. But he also had, more than outweighing his bad games, he had some spectacular games.
Right.
Where he'd complete, 14 passes for 380 yards or something.
That's the year that Bernard Berrien just went off the hook.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, I just – there's something that's keeping me from accepting the Bears. And do you have that problem? I mean, where do you think, you know?
I haven't had the problem as much as it sounds like you do. And I think it's more of the fact that I probably haven't spent as much time watching them as much – essentially, to me, that kind of – you know, your issues with – Kyle Orton and the Bears is kind of like how I'm looking at the Miami Dolphins right now. Now, granted, the Miami Dolphins are only 2-2, but at the same time, that division's kind of open at this point. I think Buffalo is still going to be the class of that division when it's all said and done, as long as Trent Edwards' head doesn't fall off.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, is anyone really sold on any of the other teams in that division?
I'm not just yet. But, you know, I can buy Miami in a way that's easier to buy Chicago because, you know, I can buy Miami winning 7 or 8 games and being a decent team. I won't buy them making the playoffs. I think that's slightly.
See, I can buy the Chicago Bears. I figured that defense would be pretty solid.
Yeah.
I love the Matt Forte pickup. I thought just getting rid of Cedric Benson was just a great thing for that offense. I didn't think much of what Kyle Orton or Rex Grossman would be able to do this year, but I figured a guy like Kyle Orton, who, remember when Rex Grossman was hurt, Kyle Orton came in his rookie year and did pretty well and helped guide that team to the playoffs.
Yeah, he did, but it was, you know, that was the height of the Kyle Orton dink and dunk era.
Sure. But I also knew that Detroit would be garbage and Minnesota would have quarterback issues.
Right.
But apparently they don't anymore because Gus Frerotte is 2-1.
Well, yeah, there's that. But
so I guess the bottom line is this. I'm higher on the Bears than you probably were at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, that might be true. But I just feel like holding things against the Bears that they have proven that I shouldn't be holding against them. Like I just can't let go of the past, and I don't want to be that guy. Dang.
Stop being a jerk.
It's not that easy. I've been a jerk my whole life.
Is it Lovie Smith?
No, it's not Lovie Smith.
Is it their fans?
Is it their fans? No, I don't have.
Is it their fake Soldier Field?
No.
Did something bad happen to you when you were a child that had to do with Bears?
I was hoping not to have to talk about this.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know. Man, can't
believe it. A giant teddy bear. Touched me. No.
Sure.
I don't have anything against the Bears, period. It's just...
What you call me. Call him a teddy bear, huh?
Who?
The person. I mean, the bear who touched her.
My therapist told me that would help me deal with it.
Oh, I'm sure he did. It's probably your therapist who touched her.
Where? Yeah, I wondered why we got those discounts on the counseling. But, I don't know, man. Let me
put it this way.
My mind.
What's it going to take for you to buy into the Chicago Bears? Is it going to take a playoff spot? Will it take that long into the season?
I don't think it'll take that long into the season. What it's going to take is, number one, is that I still believe in Aaron Rodgers and the Packers.
I do too.
I don't think Aaron Rodgers is heading downhill or anything quite yet. And I think they're a little more well-rounded in terms of the talent they have all over the field, particularly on offense. I don't know when the Bears and Packers play, but if we go into that game and Aaron Rodgers and the Packers play well and the Bears beat them, then I'm sold. But I'll just feel like if that does happen, that it took me way too long to realize that the Bears are decent.
Yeah, probably. That's what you're going to have to live with.
Yeah, that's not the worst thing I've had to live with.
Oh, I think we figured that out when we were talking about earlier situations with you.
Uh-huh. Yeah. We made that pretty clear, I think.
I think so. On to the picks.
Yeah, man, let's pick some games.
Pick some games, baby! All right, so here's how it's going to work. Oh, wow. This is how it's going to work here on the corner. We're going to pick two games against the spread. It's you versus me, and at the end of the year, if I win, I get to find out the true story about this teddy bear situation. And if you win...
Wait a minute. When you say find out the true story, because I don't know the true story myself, what are you going to... Are we just... You going to, like, reenact it? Is that what you're saying?
Maybe we should move on and decide sometime else. Somewhere else, some other time what the winner is going to receive.
Okay. You know what else I thought we could do is we could get like we could pick games against like a 3-year-old or something who just, you know, picks teams at random, because it's hard to pick games against the spread, and I'm not convinced that, you know, anyone who closely follows the game can do any better than anyone who just closes their eyes and throws a spaghetti-o at a list of teams.
Don't you have a dog or something?
But I don't know how to make my dog make picks. You have any kids?
What do you think, dude?
All right. Well, we need to get a kid. We'll get a kid next week. We'll borrow somebody's kid.
Should we wait a week then to do the picks?
No, man. We're going to start now.
Okay.
We'll do two this week, and we'll do two next week, and we'll have the kid do four next week.
Okay. All right.
So this week, there's one game I think we should do regardless, and the other one we'll select at random here in a second. The first game I want us to pick, and we're using the Danny Sheridan's odds from USA Today.
Okay.
The Chargers, favored by 6, at home against the Patriots.
Okay.
What do you say?
I look at this game, and I think to myself, the Chargers could absolutely blow out the Patriots. And then I look
agree.
At another And I look at it another way and think the Patriots could work a number on the Chargers. It's just, this is one of those games where we're looking at two teams that have not been able to really find an identity. But at the same time, when it's all said and done, I'm fairly confident that Phillip Rivers and that offense should be able to be very successful against the Patriots defense, which is getting better. But at the same time, I think against a very good quarterback as well as a decent ground game, it would probably be too much. And I think the Chargers do win by more than six.
I'm going to agree. I don't have some long, huge explanation because I was going to pick the Chargers regardless.
That's what I figured.
You know, if you know there was a giant accident and the only one who showed up for the game was Mike Tolbert, I would still pick the Chargers to win. But I do think they're backs against the wall right now. They're 2-3. They do not want to lose this one, and it's coming against a team that they don't like on Sunday night. And I think their intensity will be pretty high. So I'm going to go with the
Chargers. I think it will too. And you know, you look at the Patriots. They stayed on the West Coast. I don't know if you know what that even means. If that's going to help. If it's not going to help. So, you know, we'll see what that is going to do. But at the same time, I look at this game and I just feel that the Chargers. I feel it's a bigger game for the Chargers than it is for the Patriots.
Absolutely, absolutely. They need it.
Yep.
All right. For the second game, we're going to pick. Why don't you pick a number between 1 and 12.
7.
Why'd you pick before I told you what you were
picking? I always pick 7.
What if I said between 8 and 12?
8.
No, it's 1 and 12. You still want 7?
No, I'll take 12 for Tom Brady.
You want 12? All right, the 12th game listed is Seattle. At home, favored by 2 over the Green Bay Packers. Is that right?
What? Dude, the ESPN line is 5.5 for the Packers over Seattle.
That's what it says here, man. Favorites on the left, underdogs on the right. Seattle's on the left, brother.
MGM has San Diego's a 6-point favorite, and Seattle has a 2.5-point favorite.
All right, let's go with that then. We're going to stick with Danny Sheridan. Seattle favored by 2 at home. Against the Green Bay Packers. What do you say?
Green Bay Packers winning outright.
Yeah, I think so too. I really hope we would disagree so we wouldn't have the same score here going into the next week.
All right, then we all have to do a different game.
No, I want it to be pure.
Okay.
Why,
so something in your life is actually pure?
Yes. Yes, it'll be a nice change of pace. I'm sitting here trying to come up with reasons I think I should pick the Seahawks here, because I do think that at some point the Seahawks are going to get better. But
not against the Green Bay Packers.
Packers are pretty good. Deion Branch is out again, I believe. Matt Hasselbeck.
Is it DJ Hackett out again, too?
I don't know. Is he?
I think so.
Hasselbeck took a huge shot to the noggin last week. Oh, man. Why? Why? Why, Danny Sheridan?
It's not just Danny Sheridan.
All right, so we both like the Chargers and the Packers.
Yeah, I guess they're looking at it as the Packers are kind of beat up too. Maybe they're looking at those injuries, but man, I mean,
that is surprising.
You had a quarterback for Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers, last week, who was playing with an injured shoulder and threw for what?
Yeah,
300 yards.
Had a great game.
So, whatever, man.
I'm looking at the rest of the lines, and I'm trying to see if there's anything else that looks too goofy, and not really. Indianapolis favored by 4.5 over Baltimore is a little goofy, but Indy's at home. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's not that goofy.
No.
All right, there we go.
All right, well the picks are in, which means it is time for us to say goodbye here on the corner, right here on ShutdownCorner.com. For MJD, I'm Danks. Good night, and hey, we'll talk to you next week right here.